Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 14, The Disappearance of Lord Krishna, text number 30. Pradyumna sarva drisinam sukham aste maharataha gambira raya gambira rayon irudo vartite bhagavan uta. Pradyumna. Pradyumna is son of Lord Krishna. Sarva, all. Vrishinam, of the members of the Vrishni family. Sukham, happiness. Ashte, are in. Maharata, the great general. Gambira, deeply. Roya, dexterity. Aniruddha. Aniruddha, a grandson of Lord Krishna. Vardhate, flourishing. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Uta, must. Translation and performed by His Divine Grace with the Prabhupada. How is Pradyumna, the great general of the Vrishni family? Is he happy? And is Aniruddha, the plenary expansion of the personality of God, is faring well? For Pradyumna and Aniruddha are also expansions of the personality of God, and thus they are also Vishnu Tattva. At Dwarka, Lord Vasudev is engaged in his transcendental pastimes along with his plenary expansions, namely Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And therefore, each and every one of them can be addressed as the personality of Godhead, as it is mentioned in connection with the same Aniruddha. So I'm going to go on to the next verse, 31. Shushusna, Shusesna, Charudesna, Cha, Shambho, Jam, Bhavati, Sutta, Anye, Cha, Karsni, Pravara, Suputra Rishabha Daya. Translation. Are all the chieftain sons of Lord Krishna, such as Susena, Charudesha, Samba, the son of Jambavati, and Rishabha, along with their sons, all doing well? Purport. As already mentioned, Lord Krishna married 16,108 wives, and each of them had 10 sons. Therefore, 16,108 times 10 equals 161,080 sons. They all grew up, and each of them had as many sons as their father. And the whole aggregate was something near 1,610,800 family members of the Lord. Big dynasty. That's Krishna. That's God. The Lord is the Father of all living beings who are countless in number. Therefore, only a few of them are called to associate with the Lord in His transcendental pastimes as the Lord of Dwarka on this earth. It is not astonishing that the Lord maintained a visible family consisting of so many members. It is better to refrain from comparing the Lord's position to ours. And it becomes a simple truth as soon as we understand at least a partial calculation of the Lord's transcendental position. King Yudhisthira, while inquiring about the Lord's sons and grandsons at Dwarka, mentioned only the chieftains among them, for it was impossible for him to remember all the names of the Lord's family members. Om Jnana Tamananda Shyam Jnananjana Salambhya. Chakshurmuritam in Tasmai Sri Srivena. Mukham Rotabhachalam Kongunam Haiti Grin Yat Kripata Hambandi Sri Gurum Dinatasa. Vanchikapati Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Devaja Patitanam Pavne Vaishnavi Yoga. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaurava. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the position of Krishna. That he is the father of all living entities. Not just the human beings. He's the father of all living entities. Everyone is emanating from Krishna. He is the father of everyone, and Krishna, believe it or not, he has a problem. And that problem is that many of his sons, his parts and parcels, have given up his association and come to this material world to compete with him, to try to be Krishna, envious of Krishna. So this is the problem. This is Krishna's problem. So he comes to try to solve this problem. He comes in many ways. He himself comes. He speaks the Bhagavad Gita. He reads us the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken about Krishna. All the glories of Krishna. And what this is advertisement, information about Krishna so that we can become attracted again to the spiritual atmosphere, to the spiritual world. He sends his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, Shaktivesha Avatar, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So many great Vaishnavas Krishna sends to solve the problem. So if we also try to help Krishna solve this problem, Krishna is very pleased. It's like, imagine if there's a very wealthy father who has a son, and the son kind of goes off at one point. Leaves the father, and he becomes very degraded. He's drinking, smoking, taking intoxication. He becomes very, very low class. So, if one friend of the father sees the son so degraded, you know, passed out outside of a bar or something, he recognizes him and says, "Hey, aren't you my friend's son?" "It's me." And he picks him up, and he takes him home, and he takes care of him. And he brings him back to a normal state and becomes a normal human being again. He gives up all of his nonsense and goes back and becomes a good son. Imagine how happy the father is with his friend. Very happy, very pleased, because he's helped his son. So this is what the preachers of Krishna consciousness movement are doing. We're bringing back, we're trying to help the lost sons, these lost parts and parcels, to Krishna. Imagine how pleased Krishna is. Very, very pleased by this activity of going out and helping others. There's many ways that we can go out and help others. Srila Prabhupada especially, he liked the and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, going out and distributing books, because people get a book and they take it home with them, and it's there in their home, and sometimes they pick it up. Sometimes they sit there for many, many, many years. There's one instance of a God. So he read the Bible. And he wasn't very satisfied with it. So he went to his mother. Said, "Mother, I want to know something about God. Can you help me?" She said, "Well, have you read the Bible?" "Yeah, but I didn't get much out of it." She said, "Well, you know something? I remember I got a book about 20 years ago. Maybe that will tell you something." So she gave him Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. So he read that, and he was convinced Krishna is God. So he's a devotee now for the past 10 years or so. So the book sat there for 20 years. Tick, 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 tick. Waiting. And then it exploded into the heart of this young man. So books are very patient. I tell this to people when I distribute books. "No, I don't have any time. I don't read very much." It's okay. Books are patient. They'll wait for you. Years. No problem. Oh, okay. So this knowledge is what people are searching for. Many of them don't know it. They don't know, just like we didn't know what we were looking for. But the fact is, this is the absolute truth, and this knowledge can reawaken their dormant love for Krishna, their dormant understanding of who their father is. Krishna is he's not only the father of all humanities, he's the best father. He's only thinking of our welfare. And someone might say, sometimes this argument is there, well, if he's a good father, then why are we in this situation where we're suffering so much? Well, that was our choice. We chose to try to be Krishna. We were with Krishna. We thought at one point, oh, I would like to be in that situation where I'm the center of everything. So at that point we left. Now everybody is here trying to be the center. Shakespeare has one little stanza, I'm paraphrasing. He says, "The whole world is a stage and everyone is thinking I'm the main actor on the stage, trying to be the enjoyer." But Krishna is the enjoyer, and he's the proprietor and the friend of all living energies. And the more we're able to understand this, the more we'll come back to our normal condition of being the eternal servant of Krishna. So also Krishna says in the Gita, "Pita amasi jagato mata tata pita vedyam kavitam omkaram riksam yajnayucha." He says, "I am the father of all living entities." So he's maintaining everyone. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetanam. That there's many living entities. We are the plural. And Krishna, he's the singular. He's the one that is maintaining all others. All living entities are being maintained by Krishna. So this is the difference between God and us. Nowadays it's very difficult for a man to maintain even one woman, one family. Actually it's even stated in the Vedas that in Kali Yuga, if a man can maintain a family, it's like maintaining a kingdom in other ages. Very difficult. But here we're hearing Krishna. He's maintaining 1,610,800 family members. No problem. So this is Krishna. We have such a difficult time. Sometimes it's even difficult just to maintain oneself. Or to speak of a family. Kali Yuga. Kala, the he, what is it? Kala, Kali, Kala, Kala, Kali. And then into your Vairi Varga, Sri Bhakti Marga, he could come to the Koti Rudha. Then in Kali Yuga, It's very, very difficult to control the senses. And in this age, there's millions of thorny obstacles on one's path to pure devotional service. So Kali Yuga is a very, very difficult age to advance in spiritual life because Maya has a very strong hold. As soon as you walk out the door, so much Maya. But we're very fortunate because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he gave us the holy name. Kala Goshan Hey Raja Nasti He Kumahad Kirtanadeva Krishna Mukta Sangha. In this age, there's so many faults, unlimited faults. I was at a university once speaking to a student about this, about the faults of Kali Yuga. People that had the cheating mentality and tendency to be an illusion, make mistakes, imperfect senses, so many faults. And he said, oh yeah, I was just reading in the newspaper. There was one psychiatrist. He was treating one patient. And this patient had many split personalities, about 20 different split personalities. So this psychiatrist came up with a brilliant idea of charging each of the different split personalities. So one of the split personalities had enough intelligence to take this psychiatrist to court. And when the judge heard the case, he was completely disgusted. And he took away the psychiatrist's medical license and put him in jail. So this is the cheating. People are cheating like anything. So much cheating is going on. There was one disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He had been cheated also by many gurus. But then when he met Prabhupada, he said, here, he had a realization, very deep realization, here is someone that will not cheat me. He gave pure Krishna consciousness without any attachment, any personal attachment. He simply wanted to give Krishna. And therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is called Bhagavad Gita as it is. So many Bhagavad Gitas were translated before Prabhupada came. Hundreds of them. But no one became a devotee of Krishna. No one. So as Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita comes, so many people. When I read the Bhagavad Gita, I was convinced, this is it. This is the end of my search. Krishna is God. Chanting Hare Krishna, following the regular principles, everything. So potent. So powerful. So all these other Bhagavad Gitas, they can call Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. Because the real message is not there. They're giving their own interpretation, given their own ideas. Oh, the Pandavas, the five senses, and the Kurukshetra, the body, and so much speculation. So we're very fortunate that we have the pure teachings of Krishna, unadulterated pure teachings of Krishna. So devotees are not only interested in their own good fortune, we want everyone to be fortunate. And by giving out these jewels, Prabhupada's books, we're helping people become very fortunate. And these books are not just paper and ink, but they are diamonds and gold. Very valuable. Treasures. Because in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, he says that gold is very beautiful. A gold ring is very beautiful. You put a diamond in a gold ring, it's especially beautiful. So the pure devotee, he is compared to gold. And Krishna, is compared to diamond. So the combination of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna is a very, very, very valuable jewel. So we want to give these jewels out so that people can become wealthy. People don't know what is real wealth. They have millions of dollars or billions of dollars, they think they're wealthy. But a devotee, no. Gold, just, it's like stool, yellow stool, mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. No value to a devotee. But Krishna consciousness, this is very, very, very valuable. Prema dana vina vyaka dirudu jiva. That if one does not have, this is spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if one does not have love of God in one's life, then one is considered to be daridra jiva. It's a poor soul. Lord Chaitanya goes on to say, therefore, my dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. And all I want as salary is love for you. So this is all we want for our service. Love for Krishna. Nadanam, Najanam, Dasundarim, Kavitam Bhaja Jagadisha Kami. Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatar Bhakti Ahitiki Kami. We don't want wealth. Practically everybody in the world, everybody wants wealth. Honey is like honey. Money is like honey. So sweet. Everybody's looking for money. But devotee, not interested in money. Because actually money causes so much anxiety. Where to keep it, someone's going to steal it, what to do with it. And then everybody is your friend because you have money, because money is the friend of everyone. I remember Ambarish Prabhu, our very wealthy millionaire in our society, he told me one time, he said, in my next life, I don't want to be wealthy. Because when you're wealthy, you don't know who your friends are. Because as soon as you have wealth, everyone is your friend. When you don't have wealth, then you can see who your friends are. And it causes so many problems. Greed, lust, out of control senses. People that are very wealthy, they have so much spare time that they don't have to work. You know? They have so much money, they don't have to work. So they just utilize their time in very wasteful ways, taking intoxication and doing so much nonsense. So the devotee is not interested in wealth. But we don't mind wealth. We utilize it in Krishna's service. It's like there was one instance, Prabhupada was at one city in America. And the devotee found one newspaper article, and there was a yogi sitting in front of a large pile of money. And he was like this. Like he was not interested in money. And Prabhupada said, this is all nonsense. You can take a picture of me also, like this. Because I'll use it in the service of Krishna. This is followed by false renunciation. We can use millions and millions and millions of dollars in the service of Krishna, but nothing for our sense gratification. This is proper utilization of wealth. Everything should be utilized in the service of Krishna. Nadanam, nadjanam. I don't want followers. People want to have followers. Very common. Famous people don't have more and more followers. Nasundari, I don't want women. I don't want sense gratification. I don't want the opposite sex. So I don't want this. I don't want that. So what do I want? This is what a devotee wants. This is the profession of the human form of life, to have pure devotional service. This is the desire of the soul. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavikamati kriyatam yadikotopi lavite tatraloya bhavimuyam janakoti sukutera nalavite. And this love for Krishna cannot be attained by performing pious activities for many, many, many millions of births, but it can be attained by only paying one price. And that is one's intense desire to have this love for Krishna. One's intense desire, sincere desire to have. And when Krishna sees that, then he gives it. If we give ourselves to Krishna, then Krishna, he gives himself to us. It's a great reward if we just somehow can give ourselves to Krishna. This will satisfy. Nothing else will satisfy the soul. And Prabhupada gives the example of a child that's crying. So many people will try to stop a child from crying. Right? But until the child is put in the lap of the mother, it's not going to stop. So nothing will satisfy the soul until we're engaged in pure devotional service. And this this chanting of Hare Krishna, this is custom made for Kali Yugites to attain this love for Krishna. In other ages it was so much meditation, thousands of years of meditation, and elaborate fire yogas and deity worship. But in this stage, just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And Prabhupada, he gave some instructions about how to chant. He said, once you chant, just like a child crying out to the mother, the child practically knows nothing but the mother. Their whole existence is just the mother. They know nothing else. So they're crying out for the mother, for shelter. So this is how we should feel. This is our only shelter, our only protection, is in serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. This is real shelter. Prahlad Maharaj, and he was praying to Lord Srinivasa, offering beautiful prayers. He said that one who takes shelter of you is taking real shelter, the highest shelter. A person may be in the ocean, in a big ocean liner, a big boat, but still it can sink. It's like the Titanic. It was the biggest cruise ship ever. Huge. And in the newspaper, before it went out to sea, the statement that was there, the writer said, even God can't sink this ship. And what happens? Sinks the first voyage out. It doesn't matter how big it is, still it can sink. And someone may be ill and have a very good doctor, but still the patient dies. So the real shelter is Krishna. This is the highest shelter that we can attain. Just thinking of Krishna. And when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we have to chant very attentively. Prabhupada said, hear every syllable. Every syllable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes we, because it's difficult, the mind is very quickly, it's difficult to control the mind. Some of you may have had the experience. We've all had the experience. Very difficult to control the mind. It's always going on. Yato nishchalati manushchanchal masyu. Krishna says, from wherever the mind wanders, with its flickering and unsteady nature, one must bring it back under the control of the self. So, it's a challenge to control the mind. Because if we don't control it, then it becomes, our chanting becomes very mechanical. And Prabhupada gives a nice example in this regard of one person in India. He wanted to learn English. So he had one friend that knew a little English. So he said, I want to learn English. He said, well, then you should go to the city. Very good learning. So, but before you go, I should teach you at least something. I'll teach you four words. Yes, no, very good. Okay. Yes, no, very good. Yes, no, very good. Okay. I know something. I went to the city. He was walking around the city. And the area where he was walking, there was some crime. Someone broke into a house. They were looking for the criminal. And they found this man. They stopped him, the policeman. He asked him, did you steal from this house? Yes. Did anybody help you? No. We're taking you to jail. Very good. So this is mechanical chanting. He doesn't know what he's saying. He has no idea what the meaning is. So we should know what we're chanting. We're praying to Krishna, crying out to Krishna. For what? Service. Please, Krishna, engage me in your loving service again. This is what will satisfy the soul. Not serving the senses. That way everybody is servant of the senses. And what is that? Godas. Servant of the senses. And someone who controls the senses? Goswami. That way everybody is just completely controlled by the senses. Therefore, the senses have become the master. But we're meant to be the servant of the master of the senses. That's Krishna. Kamalinam katita katita pagita dori desam tesam jata mahim purna trapa no pushanti uchu jaitam pakiru tesam putam lapti puris ramaya asana abhimam nyam. This is Rupa Goswami. He says, for so long, I've been the humble, menial servant of many bad masters. And what are those masters? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness. Many bad masters. Everybody's very humbly serving these bad masters. So Rupa Goswami goes on to say, but I've never been ashamed of serving these bad masters. Nor have I wanted to give up serving them. Nor have they ever given me any mercy. Generally, if you serve someone, you get something favorable in return. No. In serving the senses, you get nothing favorable in return. Nothing to your advantage. Just become more and more and more bound to the material world. So Rupa Goswami, he goes on to say, but now, my dear Lord Krishna, you have given me transcendental intelligence. So now, I no longer want to serve these bad masters. Now I just want to serve your lotus feet. So this is what a devotee wants. Doesn't want anything in this world. Because nothing in this world will bring satisfaction. Prabhupada was walking once in a park, and on the trash can it said, put garbage here. So Prabhupada said, then you'll have to put the whole material world in there. Because that's the material world. It's all garbage. It's all useless. So the real treasure is in this knowledge. We want to give this knowledge out to others and help people understand that they are the eternal servant of God, God's Father. He is their well-wisher. He'll bring complete satisfaction to anyone who gives their life to Him. And this is the pleasure of the soul, devotional service. Bhakti Purusana Bhava Bharati Punyanta Chaisa Jukaha Prapanyamana Sitasas Tusi Pusi Sunakana Gasha. By rendering devotional service to Krishna, three things automatically take place. Simultaneously, this happens by rendering devotional service to Krishna. We attain love for Krishna. We become detached. Bhakti Purusana Bhava Bharati. And we get experience of Krishna. We get realization of Krishna. Simultaneously, these three things happen. Just like when we're eating, we experience pleasure, we get nourishment, and eventually, we're satisfied. So this pleasure, this devotional service is compared to pleasure. This is the highest pleasure, actually. This is the highest pleasure of the soul. And in the material world, there's some pleasure, but it's called maya sukhaya, illusory pleasure. And it's also lada tapakari, that which we think will give pleasure to us in this world will end up giving us pain. That very thing that we think will give pleasure to us ends up being a source of pain. The most vivid example of that is marriage. People get married. It's very common. But nowadays, within 5 years, apparently half the marriages end in divorce. At least in America. I don't know what it is here. Anybody know the statistic here? I'm sure it's about the same. So here they are, they're going down the aisle. They're so happy. There's parties and flowers being thrown and bouquets being thrown. Party has so much pleasure, so much happiness. But eventually, I can't stand you. Get out of my face. I want a divorce. It's so much pain. Sometimes suicide. So painful. So there's no real pleasure in the material world. But the pleasure of the soul is in service to Krishna. And the more we engage in devotional service to Krishna, the more we'll become detached from this world. This is the result of devotional service. One becomes detached. I'll give you an example. Imagine there's somebody, say a king. It's very common in the 1400s, 1500s, a king that people would try to poison them. So imagine there's a king, he's sitting down ready to honor, he's ready to eat his food. And it looks great, but his secretary comes and said, "King, I have just got word that there's poison in the food." So as soon as he hears that, immediately, detached. Take it away. Right? Because he got that information. So previously, we were all very enthusiastic to engage in sense gratification. Right? But then we heard from Krishna, from Srila Prabhupada, this material world, it's poison. Don't waste your time. Chant Hare Krishna, engage in devotional service. Don't waste your time. So then we set aside sense gratification and engage in devotional service. So the more we hear this transcendental message, the more we're going to get purified, the more we're going to get detached from this material existence. Yeah. To the point where we're not interested. It's like Munacharya. He said, Yadavati Mamachetu Krishna Padaramande Navanava Rasa Dhamam Nanti Matanas Tadavati Bhadanari Sangame Smaryamani Bhavati Mukha Vikara Sustu Nishtiva Namachar. He says, since I've been engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, experiencing ever fresh pleasure at every moment, whenever I think of sense gratification with the opposite sex, my lips croon distaste and I spit at the thought. You know, this is the highest pleasure in the material world. But here, a devotee, he just spits at the thought. The very thought of it is disgusting. Yeah. Compared to devotional service, it's disgusting. Because this is the highest pleasure. And it's ever increasing. The nature of pleasure in this world is it gets to a certain point, then it goes downhill. That's the nature of all the pleasure in the material world. But with transcendental pleasure, it comes to a certain point and it keeps going higher and higher and higher. And there's no limit. Even in the spiritual world, there's no limit to transcendental pleasure. There is to material pleasure. And so therefore, a devotee is only interested in engaging in devotional service. So, devotional service is compared to the pleasure of eating and detachment. It's compared to I'm full, now I don't want anything. And nourishment while we're eating is compared to experiencing Krishna, getting realization of Krishna. And I must tell you that my most succinct realization of Krishna have been while out giving Krishna to others. And Prabhupada confirms this in one purport. He says the quickest way to get realization of the personality of God is to go out and give Krishna consciousness to others. This is the quickest way to get realization of Krishna. And this is the month, a very special month, December, Prabhupada Marathon. More books are distributed in this month than any other month of the year. Hundreds of thousands, millions of books. So you have a very nice city here. I've been distributing books here the past couple of days. Very nice. I don't know of any downtown in America that is as good as it is here in Melbourne. So nice. People are so nice. And there's so many other places where you can distribute books. There's door to door. I remember I was distributing books door to door in Brisbane one time. And I went to the door and the man saw that I had a Bhagavad Gita, spiritual. He said, no, just that I worship Satan. He said, oh, you worship Satan. Well, this book is about God. So you should know your enemy. Find out about your enemy. You should read this book. He said, oh, good point. He bought it, gave $20. So, many interesting things. When I was in Brisbane, actually, I was distributing books all around the temple. And it was amazing how many people were taking books right next door to the temple. Nobody ever went there. Right next to the temple. So many people were taking books. Oh yeah, you know, I see you people around. I always want to know what you were believing, you know. So we should do books. Right around here, you'd be surprised how many people take books right, probably next door. Here they're right next to us. And I'm sure, I don't know, maybe someone goes door to door. Right, but you go door to door. It's good, huh? It's very nice. And in Prabhupada's books, 90 times Prabhupada writes door to door. Very nice way to distribute books. So this is a little please spend some time. There's still, what's today, the 21st, so there's 10 days left of the marathon. So please spend some time pursuing books. Even if you just do one book. Just do one book. If you weren't planning on doing any book, please do one book. And if you were planning on doing something, then do a little more. Try to do something that's very pleasing to Krishna. He actually says, Prabhupada, he actually said, if you want to please me, then just do books. So it's very, very important. It's the only lack, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it's the only lack for society, or in the whole society, is Krishna consciousness. You know, just like we've all become very happy serving Krishna. There's a lot of unhappy people out there. So these books will help them become happy. On that note, is there any question or comment? Yes. Yeah, sadhana is actually not only for book distribution, but it's important for everyone who's doing any type of service. But yeah, especially book distribution, because you're going out to meet people, to convince people to take a book that they're not interested in, or that they may not be interested in. Some people we find that are interested. But that's rare. So we have to hear very nicely. Prabhupada, many times Prabhupada said to the book distributors, you're distributing the books, but are you reading the books? And one time a devotee said, well, Prabhupada, we're spending so much time distributing books, we have no time. Prabhupada was so upset, he said to him, what is the use? What is the use? If you don't read the books, how are you going to stay strong? So, every day before I go out, I read Bhagavad Gita, especially, my favorite book, and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I come back and read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, Krishna books. So I read these books every day. And this is what keeps me alive. And if you speak to any long-time distributor, you'll find that they're very attached to reading Prabhupada's books. There's one devotee, you've all heard of him probably, Vaisheshi Prabhu. He's our commander-in-chief of book distribution. And he has a program called CHAD, which means chapter a day. CHAD. Bhagavad Gita. So every day, he reads this. So I asked him, how long have you been doing this? Chad program. He said, since the beginning, since he started Krishna consciousness, which means 40 years. And he's such a wonderful devotee. So the more we hear, the more we absorb Krishna. And the more we absorb Krishna, the more Krishna is going to come out. Just like Ramai Swami very nicely spoke yesterday. The more we absorb Krishna, the more Krishna is going to come out. So, we want to give Krishna out to others. But to give Krishna out, we have to have Krishna. So that comes from sadhana bhakti. We have to hear our rounds very attentively. Very attentively. We have to hear very attentively. Prabhupada says in one purport that if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention, we'll be able to see Krishna on every page. But to hear with rapt attention, one has to be pure in mind. To be pure in mind, one has to be pure in action. And to be pure in action, one has to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But if one is able to hear like this with rapt attention, one can see Krishna in every page. So this is the power of hearing. Therefore, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing the first one. We have to hear every day. We have to hear this. This keeps our faith in Krishna strong. What we're trying to do with this Krishna consciousness process is we're trying to completely shatter, completely destroy any faith we have in material life. And make our faith in Krishna very, very solid, very strong. Previously we had faith in Maya. Krishna has shattered that to some degree. So there's a little bit there. We're trying to completely shatter that by this process. And that's the power of Krishna consciousness. They can completely shatter the illusion of material existence. You have to have very good sadhana. Okay? Anything else? Yes? My name? My name is Vijay Das. Anudas, Anudas, Anudas. Servant of all. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.